Well, good morning. For a title for this message, I have Do All to the Glory of God. I'd like to start in Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, starting in verse 1, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, that they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have ears, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear, and say, It is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." And stop there. God has chosen the nation of Israel to show his power to the other nations of the world then. In the same way, God has chosen us as Christians today to show his glory to all nations and to tell the good news of Jesus. And the purpose God has for us and as Christians, in verse 7 it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." In verse 21, it says, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." God wants all people to come to repentance and show forth his praise, bring him glory. Another chapter I'd like to turn to is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting in verse 1, says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." I'd like to look especially these next four verses here. It says, "If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? First Corinthians chapter 8, a couple chapters back. Like, look at a few verses there that talk about the same thing. Verse 7 of chapter 8 says, "Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge," talking about the knowledge that things offered to idols are, there's nothing wrong in itself of eating, but that it might offend someone else. But it says, "Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled." So, suppose that there's something that is perfectly fine to do. However, a person doing that thing, believes it is wrong to do. That person is sinning because he believes he is doing wrong, even though if he had knowledge, he would know that it was not wrong. Says the last part of that verse, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Verse 8 says, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak consciences, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And Romans 14 also talks a lot about this, and I won't read that. But today, I don't believe there's anyone here who thinks it's wrong to eat meat. But we can apply this principle to the music we listen to, the clothes we wear, and I'm sure there are more things that we could think of and maybe should think of that would fit in that list. If we go back to chapter 10, verse 31. Says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So how do you apply verse 32? How do you live in a way that doesn't offend anybody? It says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So, I guess I have a story to tell. And this is a true story that happened recently. And, in fact, it's a hunting story of mine from yesterday. So, hope hunting stories are okay in church. I think we can make a point out of it. And so, yesterday morning I went hunting, and it was a nice morning to go hunting. I walked out in the woods while it was dark, and I heard deer moving to one side of me, so I walked, tried to walk like a deer. I probably didn't do a good job, I didn't stop long enough, but I would walk and wait, and I made my way back to the tree stand, and I didn't hear any deer get spooked, so I was happy. I climbed up in the tree stand and heard some deer blowing at me. I knew they were nervous about something. They had a reason to be nervous, I guess. And so I sat there and I waited for light so I could hopefully see something to shoot. And about an hour into hunting light, I saw a deer, and I couldn't see it well through my scope, so I just tried to keep my scope on it and saw it walking down through the woods and never got a chance to see what it was. So I kept waiting, and about an hour later, a buck walked out from in front of me, coming down closer to me. And so I followed it with my scope, but I couldn't, it wouldn't stop long enough for me to get a shot. And then pretty soon, a doe walks out from the right. I looked at it through my scope, and so this buck and this doe met out in front of me to the right, and I was watching them just going round and round circles through the woods, and I could never get a shot at it. I tried to keep my scope on the buck because that was my first priority at the moment. And so it finally stopped and gave me a good shot, and I shot it and watched it drop, and I reloaded and hoped maybe the other deer would stick around a little bit. And about a minute later, it walked back out of the woods and was looking at where the deer had dropped that I had shot before. So I put my scope on its head and I saw that was the doe that was out there earlier, I thought, and so I shot it in the head and it dropped right there. So I was so excited. I took my hat off and I thanked God for my success. And I walked down there and took a look at it, and sure enough, the doe was laying with its head over a log, and I went and found the buck laying with its head under a log about 20 feet away. I walked back to the house and I was gonna get my truck and some help, I thought. But all the help was either gone or leaving. So I got my truck and I walked back out there with a strap to start dragging the deer out of the woods. And when I moved a branch that was by the doe's head, I found out that doe had an antler on it about 8 inches tall, and it wasn't a doe after all. So what do you do in a case like that? I should have seen that spike on its head. It's my job to identify what I'm shooting. And somehow I had missed it. Whether it had its ear blocking most of it and I didn't see it, or I just got too excited and shot, and I don't know. But so I'm sitting there with a little bit of a predicament, because now I'm not sure how I'm going to make everybody happy. Seems like maybe I'm going to offend somebody. But I decided that what I feel is right for me to do is to call it into the game warden and tell them just the way it happened, see what they do from there. So there might be some people here who would say that I should just cut it up and shut up about it. I'm not sure. They could say there might be good reasons for it, like this meat is going to go to some kind of government program where it gets distributed to people who are in need, and those people are probably in need because they haven't worked or something, and so they shouldn't eat, or they might have good reasons for it. It was just an honest mistake, and try not to do it next time or whatever. But I felt like I should probably turn it in, and so I called the game wardens, and they told me just to leave it sitting right where it was, and they'd come out and take a look at it and write up a report and figure out what to do from there. So I waited for a call, and they called back later and said that they were busy with something else that was more important, and go ahead and bring the deer out of the woods so they don't spoil, and they would come out and take a look at it later. So I went and got Abe and Silas to help me drag the deer out of the woods, because I wasn't really feeling like dragging two deer out by myself at the moment. And so Abe helped me drag the deer, and Silas carried our extra clothes that we were shedding as we were dragging a deer, because that gets to be a lot of work. And so we brought them out and hung them up. And the game wardens came out later and took the deer, the second deer that I shot, left me with the first one. And so I was okay with that. I still figured I had done what was right to do. But that's kind of a hard one to figure out sometimes, and try to, yeah, you might not be able to please everybody, but I think you have to do what you feel is right to the best of your knowledge of Scripture, and try to keep peace with everybody, not offend people as much as you can. That's not really that big a deal, I don't think, but anyhow. So, in conclusion, how do you bring glory to God? And I'd like to look at Matthew 22. Some verses that are very familiar. Matthew chapter 22, starting verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had been put But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I think that this is how we bring glory to God, in keeping his commandments. Not out of fear, but out of a love for him. And there are a lot of things that fall under these two commandments that can be more complicated to understand where they fit. But I think that loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbors, yourself, is a good place to start, and all of that. That's what I have to share. God bless.